We're going to dig into some prayer tonight. So the topic is praying. So if you have your Bibles, it's going to be in Philippians. We're going to start in chapter 1, then we're going to move through Philippians really fast. But I want to think most of it's going to be on prayer and praying for others, but also a little bit on yourself. In verse 3, it begins this, as Paul writes, he says, I think my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you, all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What we see is the positive remarks that Paul has for these people in Philippi, that these Christians in Philippi. I want to tell you that if you are a believer in Christ, then you have a bigger family than what you have on the face. You have a bigger family than your bloodline family. If you are a believer in Christ, you have salvation through Christ, you know this, that you have now brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are to act accordingly toward one another. So when our family hurts, our big family hurts, then we ought to hurt with them. And so tonight I heard some things out here that there's a heaviness in the room tonight, just in conversation. You can feel it when you came in tonight. If you had that gift of discernment, you may have felt that coming in the room tonight. This is part of the way life is. We bring a lot of junk sometimes. We bring a lot of heaviness, a lot of hurts and pains, and so we know that. And sometimes it's not just for ourselves, but it's for other people, because God has given us His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit allows that to be on our hearts at times of what other people are going through, not just yourself. That's one of the big things, I think, what happens is when you become a Christian, as you begin to start having feelings for other people in ways that you never had before. It's not all about you. It's not about your family. Now it becomes about you, your family, and your bigger family. So if you're a believer in Christ tonight and you have salvation, then you're my brother, you're my sister, and I'm your brother in Christ. We're family. And that's what we are, and that's what God, and this is what Paul is saying. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank God every time I remember you because you're part of my family. And to see where you've grown, he says, always in every prayer of mine, I make requests for you. I do it in joy. I do it because there's a joy in it. And so he's making these positive remarks. Your fellowship in the gospel. He says, I joy for that because we have this one thing in common. It isn't that we have a bloodline in common, that we are the same blood, but that we all have this thing. One of the other more powerful thing is that we have Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. We have that salvation together. And he pulls it together and he says, being confident. We need to be more confident. We are not as confident. We worry too much. We stress out too easy. We have anxiety. And we're not supposed to have those things because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. God says, whatever we got, we're going to get to this. That we can call on the creator of everything. The problem is we don't think he's going to answer, but yet he's eager to answer. But we have to pray to him in those ways. But he says, being confident of this in everything, that he who has begun a good work in you, he will see that it will be completed. So whatever God has started in your life, he will see that it will be completed. God doesn't start things and quits on things. That's what we do. We start and we quit, but he never starts something until he doesn't end something until he finishes it. As Jesus was on the cross, he says, it is finished. And then he let the Spirit go. But the disciples, they kind of quit beforehand. That's what we do. But when we stick with God, we know that we are with one who doesn't quit. And so this letter is to Philippi, encouraging them in many ways. I'm going to skip through this pretty quickly because I want to get to the last chapter there. But he says in chapter 2, we're going to kind of go there, 3 and 4. This whole thing is not just about us, but it says there, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. That's the way we used to do things. We used to do everything for ourselves before we knew Christ. We used to do everything for ourselves, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. I think that's one of the biggest characteristics of a mature Christian when you let others, or you put others above yourself. Because in the world status, it's all about me. It's all about what I need. It's all about what I can get. It's all about me and my family. It's all about mine. But when you become a Christian, you realize that it's not just about you, but that you begin to let people be above you, and we struggle with that. You know, you can have a position in the church yet let people be above you. That doesn't mean let people walk on you, but it means putting others before yourself. Most of us say we would do that, but when it comes to it, we don't always do that. Then he says, let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interest of others. That's something we try to do here. That we don't just look out for what we need of our own interests, but we look out for the interests of others. And we need to do that because that's what Jesus did. That's exactly what Jesus did. And in chapter 3, he takes it to another place. He says in verse 13, he says, brother, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. He says, listen, as a Christian, this is the one thing that I do. I'm not saying I made it to the top yet, because we don't get that until we get to heaven. But he says, there's this one thing that I do. He says, I forget those things which are behind me. I forget the way that the life I used to live, I forget that. That's done. I'm done with that. I'm done with my past. I'm done with the things that hurt me. I'm done with my past sins. I'm done with those. When you came to Christ and you asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, and as he nailed them to the cross, they're done and over with. You're washed as white as snow. You are good to go. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect for the rest of your life. You're going to sin. We're going to get to that in just a second. But he says, this is what I do. I forget those things that are behind me. But we as human beings, we have to keep our eyes on something. Some scripture tells us that we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. But here, he says this, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And those things that are ahead are the things of God. Before it was the things of the darkness in the past. We're done with that lifestyle. Now we forget that, we walk away from that, and we start walking forward with a new lifestyle. And it can get kind of weird sometimes because we're not used to living that way. We're not used to being honest. We're not used to always not telling the truth. We're not used to putting others above ourselves. We're not used to giving up some time to God's work. We're not used to giving up some finances for God's work. We're not used to those things because that's what we used to do, was all that stuff was for myself. But once I become a Christian, I start growing and I say, listen, I can't look back there anymore. I got to go forward. And in 14, he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God's called you to something, and he calls you to live a life different than what he had when you first met him. And he's going to help you get there, but you got to keep your eyes fixed on him, because there is a prize at the end of this. There are gifts, there is things that he's given you, but nothing is more valuable than the salvation that you have. And that is the promise of being with God, of Christ, of heaven. Seeing those loved ones that have died and had a relationship with Christ, and we will see them again because we're family. He says in verse 24, our citizenship is in heaven. But it's in verse 6 where I want to stick for a bit. He says, be anxious in chapter 4. Be anxious for nothing. For nothing. It's a lesson we're going to be learning until the day we pass away, for most of us. Because we get anxious about things. We stress over things. We worry about things. But the scripture tells us to be anxious for nothing. But what do when we start stressing? What do we do when we worry so much? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the scripture isn't finished. It says what? Not to do that. Not to be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, prayer. That's pleading to God. It's a plea to God for help. That's what part of prayer is. Pleading to God for help. When you pray, You know, when you're praying to God, you're praying to Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, some people, we struggle with something called the Trinity, which is the three shall be one, right? Jesus would say, just as you are fathers, I am in you, and we are one. I want them to be as us, me and me, as you and I are one. God, Jesus keeps saying to me and the Father are one, but I got to go because I got to bring, because if I don't go, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, will not come while I'm here. So there's this three-piece whole thing going on between Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. They're all one. People say, well, how can you say just God, and that's all of them, yet being Jesus is one, and God one, and the Father, and then you're saying the Holy Spirit, how can they all be one? I'm going to make it very simple for you. Let's take the thing called water. Water in its solid piece is water. You take water and you heat it up, it becomes steam. You take water and you freeze it, it becomes ice. You got ice, water, steam. It's all what? It's all water. You take God, you take Jesus, you take the Holy Spirit, and it's all God. So wrap your head around that. Hopefully that's a little easier to understand that what one knows, the other one knows. They work together. And so this is what we do when we pray. So I want you to know that when you call out to God, you're also, the Holy Spirit hears you and Jesus hears you. Because some of us get complicated in our prayers. I want to pray to Jesus. Wait a minute, should I end my prayer with the Holy Spirit? Or should I end my prayer with the Father? We're to pray. And we're not to stress out. He says, pray for everything. God is telling us, bring it on. Bring all you got. Bring all that heaviness to me. Didn't Jesus say, come unto me who are heavy laden, heavy burdened, I'll give you rest. Didn't he say, my yoke is easy, follow me? We are the one that makes it hard because we want to hold on to it. And the scripture tells us that we need to bring everything in prayer, but it also says supplication. Well, there's a big word, supplication. Now, let me ask you. There are times when you're going to pray, and you're going to pray at your dinner table, we need to ask God to bless us, bless what we're eating. There's times when we can pray for people, and we'll pray in our cars, and we're moving along, we sit and we pray. When we get into the supplication piece, sometimes it's a little bit different. Supplication is sometimes where you find yourself, supplication is where you're putting all yourself in to it. Because be honest, we don't always pray with everything we got, do we? We pray with the words, we pray in the moment, got to go, done. But when you pray with supplication, you're bringing everything that you are. That means sometimes it's prayer or tears. Sometimes it's prayer on your knees. Sometimes it's prayer prostrate, which means you lay flat out on the floor face down. Sometimes you're praying with your arms in the air and you're conversating. You're drawing near to God, and it's hard to draw near to God sometimes when you're just being super quiet. Sometimes you just got to get, you're passionate about it, and you're saying, come on, God, I don't understand. This is what I'm going through. I'm a little angry today. I didn't understand what happened to me. I don't understand it. I'm a little angry today, and I need you to can you help me? I'm coming to you. I'm not going to anybody else but to you. It's you and me. Help me, Lord. Or it's, Lord, I got a problem. Thank you for the day. Amen. Now, which one do you think is going to go to bed with worrying more? Or when you give it all you got in your prayer and you're down and you're out and you get to that place, you just throw it out to God. Listen, you're not just praying, you're in supplication. You're throwing it all out there, everything that you are. And sometimes we need to get back to a prayer life of that. So where we throw it out to God. Throw when you get angry, you're not being angry at God, but you can throw it out there saying, Lord, I don't understand. I'm confused. I'm trying to live your. I know your scriptures, and I know you're not failing me, and I know that you're not helping me, but I'm not getting it. I don't feel your touch. I just don't feel like I've felt you for a long time. But you know, when you start doing that, you know what's happening? You're starting to draw to God, because it won't be long, and then you're going to be into some other parts of prayer that you didn't even intentionally plan on doing. And if you ever did look at the clock, you sometimes might go, wow, where'd them 40 minutes go? Where'd that hour and a half go? And I want to tell you, because you'll pray until you're done. Have you ever prayed where you got tired physically? It wore you out. I'd rather be wearing myself out in prayer than wearing myself out in worries. Because those worries, well, there's nothing you can do with it. If you could have fixed it, you would have fixed it already, right? So we go to the one that can fix it. It doesn't always fix it the way we want. It doesn't always fix it in the timing. But here's the problem. Sometimes we miss it out that he does fix it right there and then. We forget that he does fix things right now. He does fix things in when you want him to be fixed. He does these types of things. But we think it's always in the way that we don't see fit. So we struggle in our prayer time. We struggle with it. But he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. And he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He wants to hear what you have to say. He knows your needs already, so that prayer is just you drawing yourself to him. Because we have a tendency to draw away from God when we don't have much going on in our life, when we don't have these things going on in our life. And he says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's saying, God will give you peace. God will wrap himself around you. Your mind's going to be okay, but you got to do it God's way. This is the big lesson we're learning here at New Life. We got to learn to let God do it his way, not just our way. So I'm going to help you with a couple of things before we go to these last couple of verses. There are some ways that we need to pray. I'm going to help you. If you write things down, this is an easy one for you. You can write it down. It'll help you, because sometimes if we look at ourselves just praying one way, then we can also look at ourselves being very, very selfish. But if you want to write things down, these are my six that I feel are very, very, I'm very strong about these. Some of these are going to be no-brainers for you. But here it is. Here's some types of prayers. Number one is adoration, which is praising God. We need to praise God even in the storms of life. We need to acknowledge who he is. When you acknowledge who he is, you'll remember who you are. And we're not that high up on the ladder. So we need to praise God for who he is. In the good days, in the bad days, in the hurting days, in the painful days, in the days of the storms, and even in the eye of the storm. And we know that we went through a storm and we're in the middle of it and we're getting ready to hit it again. Because some of you, am I the only one that knows what it feels like when you get a hit and all of a sudden you got a breather but another hit comes? And you just say, come on, let the hits just keep on coming. Come on, let's see how much I can take, God. See how much I can take. Now, there's a way of being cocky about that in front of the Lord, but here it also is, are you pleading to God? Not, here I am. Is it going to keep on coming? You're conversating with God. Just make sure you don't get angry at God, but you're allowed your anger to go forward. Now, he sees it. Oh, listen, God wants you to be real. He'd rather you be real than use big words that you don't even understand yourself, and you're praying. He doesn't want to hear words. He wants to hear your heart. And sometimes, honestly, is your heart hurting? Mine does. Does your heart feel the pain of other people? Yep. Do you get angry sometimes? Yep. Do you get excited sometimes and say, thank you, God, you just did something amazing in my life? That's the awesome God that we have. So we need to give him some adoration. We need to give him some praise. How do we do that sometimes? Because sometimes I don't know how to say it, but we know how to sing it. Y'all ever drive down the road and sing a praise song? Sing along with one of the radio songs that just hitting your heart, hitting your spirit, and you just sing it out. Be thankful that nobody else is in the car with you. And you're just praising him and you worship him. You can worship him doing that. And we need to get back to that. Dump the anxiety, dump the anxiousness and the worries, and pick up some prayer time, and that anxiety, God will start dealing with it. Okay? But not only adoration, which is praising God, we also got to get to a place where we need to get real too. We need sometimes in our prayer life, we need to have a confession prayer. We need to confess before God. And that confessing could be a few things. One, it could be the sins that, you know, sometimes we just blow it, guys. We've been tempted by it 10 times, but we blew it one time. We blew it. So sometimes we just need to go to God and say, I blew it. Oh, and you get mad at yourself, right? As a Christian, we should get a little bit angry with ourselves for committing the sin we said we weren't going to do, the one we've been fighting so hard not to do, and we did it again. Ah, but God is faithful. He knows when you mean it, and he knows when you're playing a game. And when you mean it, he forgives you. That's how awesome our God is. And he remembers it no more. We ask for forgiveness. We confess, Lord. and seek asking for forgiveness of sin, but we also need to confess our struggles. Lord, I'm struggling in this area in my life. I'm confessing one of my problems. I'm confessing a struggle, not just a sin, but a struggle. Areas where I'm tempted. Areas where you struggle in your walk as a Christian. Lord, help me in this area. Because I can't do this. Every time I try to do it in my own strength, I blow it. I fail out. I just bottom out and I can't do it. And sometimes you may be praying 2 or 3 days through confession. People say, what, can't you just pray one time and be done with it? Yeah. But if God's working with you on it, God's processing you, getting you to understand what the reality is of that problem and what the consequences of it and how much it's hurt yourself or how much it's hurt others, God's going to take some time to work on you a little bit. Doesn't mean you have to keep asking forgiveness of the same thing, but God may convict your heart on those troubled areas that every time it pops up, he's going to just prod you there because you struggle. And we pray, God, give us strength. But not only confession do we got to work with, we also, as we grow in Christ, we begin to understand that I just don't pray about myself, but I have intercession with God. Intercession for others. That I'm not just praying to God, but I'm interceding for others. So if this is a person, if there's a person, I pick Ashley, and she's got some things going on, I know things, I can step in the front, and I can pray to God, not praying for her, that she not to pray for herself, but I'm going to pray for her tonight, for what is going on, from what I know she needs prayer for. I'm going to intercede for her. That is one of the most powerful prayers, is when you begin to pray for others. And they don't even have to know you're praying for them. So you begin to pray for people. Like tonight, we were praying for this man that has got in a really bad state here in his health. We're praying for Stephanie, and we're praying for some other sick people, and we're interceding for them. Listen, that is a powerful piece. That is a powerful piece. I don't think we really understand how many times people have prayed for you and you not even realize how many people have prayed for you. Isn't it amazing that people are lifting up your name into heaven? That people are lifting up your name into heaven? The Bible says that Jesus sits at the right hand of God interceding for you and I. I kind of thought that, okay, yep, Jimmy's praying. Or let me say, okay, Amber, we'll use Amber tonight. So Amber's praying for herself. Father, this is what she's praying for, whatever. And that's good. But what if Amber's praying for her sister? Amber's praying for Ashley. Oh, that's different. The request is not for herself. It's for someone else. I said, wow, look at the heart. Look at the passion that's coming in. Not for herself, because that's human nature. That's survival mode. But the passion that's coming out of her heart and the words that she's speaking to God is not for her. It's been for somebody else the whole time. And there's a power in praying for someone else when you begin to intercede. Is that not what Jesus has done for us? He interceded on the cross. He did something on the cross that we could not do. So there's a peace there, an intercession. And listen, some of your longest prayer times, and it's not about how long you pray, but if you start growing in your life, growing in your walk with the Lord, your prayers will get a little bit longer, just the way it works. And you're going to find yourself when you are two places. One, that you are in a really bad spot, you will pray. And you'll usually pray a little bit longer than normal, and you'll have some passion in it, and you will really pray about it. But the longest prayers that you usually will pray is when you start praying for other people. Because you'll start getting on a roll. One that's not going to pray for Ashley. I'm going to pray for Phil. And you start praying for Phil. And the next thing the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to start praying for Ben. I'm going to start praying for Dave. And then the next thing you know, you're 30, 40, 50 minutes an hour. And you're like, is there anybody else on the church roster that I need to pray for? Oh, there's this people at the soup kitchen. Boom. And I'm telling you, you didn't start that way, but you ended that way. That's not you really. It's the Holy Spirit working through you, showing you how to pray and telling you that you need praying for others. There's power when you pray for others. I like that. When somebody calls up and texts me or something, says, I'm praying for you today. Today I got a text from someone and said, hey, I need you to pray for me. Whoa, I don't get texts from this person very often. Somebody's trusting me to pray for something. I had that the other day. praying for something, can I confide in you? Will you not tell somebody this is what I'm going through? It's like, whoa, that's some big stuff. And here's what they did. They took a chance and they reached out. There's a growth in that of saying, I'm not going to carry this alone. Because we don't do very well alone, do we? We don't do very well alone. God doesn't do things alone. It's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So we and God, when he made it, he made man and he made woman. He said, the two shall become one together. Life is better together, right? But not only do we do intercession, he says also that we need to petition. Now, we can do that for others, but we need to petition for ourselves. We need to ask God for some things that we are in need of. So what that teaches us is to rely on God and not so much on us taking care of everything. That doesn't mean we have idle hands, but it means we do what we can in the strength that God's given us, but there's still things that are out of our reach. And so we need to petition to God that he will do some things. As we were putting in petitioning for the extra utility bills that we had, I never even met the woman. I didn't even see the woman come in. But we put it out there. We petitioned it out there. We prayed over it. And then God brought someone, and they wrote a check and cut a check. I didn't even know who the person was. That's an answered prayer. Do you understand? That's an answered prayer. Sometimes you're not excited about it because it's not your answered prayer. But if you are part of the family of God, you begin to understand that there's a part here that is an answered prayer piece, that what you rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We do this together. Okay? So when something good happens for you, I should be excited. When something good happens for me, you should be excited. Amen? That's what a family is. It's what a true family is supposed to be. So the petition we ask, but also that we need to have thanksgiving. We need to thank God for what he's already done for us. We need to thank God. That stuff we talked about, that I don't look backwards anymore, that I go forward, we can thank God that he brought us out of that. But as we grow, we don't always have to mention that so much, because God's put us in this new place and we're going forward. But we can thank God for the days that he's given to us, the ministries that he's given to us, the jobs that we have, the family that we have, the health, all those things are blessings. Did you know that? Go to the book of Job. Satan was upset because God put a hedge around Job, because he said everything he's got, he's blessed. His health, his children, his finances, everything, his home, everything that he has was blessed. So Satan came in and devoured it. Listen, how would you feel if all your blessings were taken away? Then you might, all the things in your life that are good, you might realize how many blessings you really had. Sometimes we don't know until we lose them. But we ought to give thanksgiving, showing gratitude to God. We need to show gratitude to God. We need to be thanking God for those things. And this sixth piece that I have down, I believe for me, there is another type of prayer, which is a spiritual warfare prayer. When you're asking God to bind something on earth as he binds it in heaven, to loose something here and loose up in heaven, which can get kind of complicated. But basically, there are some things that are going on that you don't understand, that I don't understand. But we know that there's, through the gift of discernment, we know that there's some demonic activity. And without God being involved in that, we are going to be defeated. So, but because we are believers in Christ, Satan will attack and do what he can and do. But I'll tell you, we need to pray through spiritual warfare. And when those hits just keep on coming and we complain to God, sometimes we can take authority in the name of Jesus and deal with it. Because it is spiritual warfare, and God's given us the power through the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit will work through those things in the name of Jesus. But there is a part there that spiritual warfare comes to those who are beginning to walk. The more you walk with God, the more you draw attention from Satan. The more you do and more that gets your life right, Satan will be in the midst and he will mess you up. He'll try to mess you up. If you don't have a relationship with God, or you just say, I believe, but you don't have a relationship with him through Christ, listen, you are living a life and he's not going to bother you. He's already got you. You're already lost. He's already got you in that he don't care about what you do, because you're not getting, no matter how good you are, you still ain't going to get it right until you get right with God. And you have to get right with God through Christ. So once if you're lost, you're lost. So he don't put no time in you unless he's really trying to work on you to get in somebody else's life. But for the Christian, you agitate him. We agitate him. We agitate his works. You know, he has a ministry too. His ministry is of darkness and evil and sin. So these things, they fight. And we're in the middle of this. And God tells us we have a way to fight through Ephesians chapter 6. But spiritual warfare, that is praying. There is warfare in praying. All these prayers that I mentioned are useful. Been to every one of them. But it's a spiritual warfare where you begin to see, sometimes you see, you can see things that you can't see normally see. There's things that can happen in spiritual warfare that won't happen in the other types of prayers. Fear, he uses fear. He'll allow you to open your, he'll open your eyes for a moment so you can see something that you're not supposed to see. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? Or you hear something that you're not supposed to hear as a human being. And you have to work through that by spiritual warfare. Listen, people don't walk up walls backwards in human nature. It doesn't happen. But it has happened. You don't see images of things that you just can't describe because it's not natural to see these things. And when you pray, you see demonic things in there, and you're like, where are these things coming from? It's not of God. So there's a spiritual type of prayer. And those will come, and sometime in some of your lives they'll come, and you just need to know what to do. So he finishes all this up, and he says this. This is what it means. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's just not a verse to say. It's a verse to experience. It's a verse to experience. I can do this because God's given me the strength. I can do this. And he says, verse 19, he says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We really stress out when we don't feel like we got the supplies that we need. I challenge you to read the book of Genesis starting in chapter 37 and begin to read the story of Joseph. Joseph's brothers sold him as a slave. But through all the things that he went through, and all the way through being a slave, being put into prison on a false accusation, promised to be let out and wasn't let out, God used all those things that he was going through so that he would be what God intended him to be. God never told him what he was going to be. He gave him a vision of it, but he didn't understand it. And it was to be vice president of Egypt. God can put a man and a woman in any position because God is the one. He is the mover. He is the mover and maker of all things. We need to get busy. We need to get real about who God is. Somebody asked you tonight, do you believe in prayer?